Thanks, Rob. Download here on 720 WGN. My guest tonight, as every Wednesday, God, it goes like this, Mike.
I know, right? It was like I saw you yesterday, but actually it was last week.
I saw you walk in. I'm like, ugh.
Him again.
Mike Touche from the Daily Line. Great to see you, buddy. All right. So, you know, we talk politics, Chicago, Springfield. We got a lot to talk about. It's been a big week, and we said it's going to be ramping up, and it is. Let's first start in Springfield. Yesterday, we saw the state Senate pass a spending plan. This was attached to a budget that was passed the week before.
Right.
Is this the full package? And I always love having you here because we understand a little bit more the politics that's going on behind this and why it is happening this way.
It is not the full package. It is a package, which is better than no package. It's missing a number of things. It's missing money for CPS. But the really big, giant thing that it's missing is a way to pay off the $14 billion in unpaid bills that the state has racked up over the last couple of years.
The income tax increase will not do it alone.
It is a $5.4 billion increase in revenue. It changes personal income tax from 3.75% to 4.95%. Ooh, that hurts. I mean, it's not, you know, I guess for a lot of people, that's a lot of money. I don't know, for me.
It's 100. It could be. I mean, I did the math on it. I mean, it could be up to, depending on how you get taxed, but it could be up to $100 a month.
Yeah. Actually, it could probably be more because it is actually retroactive to January 1st.
That's why it's going to be $100.
Yeah. Right. It's going to rack up quite
for
a bit
first,
of money
for the
fast.
First year, I think it'd be more than it would be after the fact, but because it's retroactive.
Right. And then it also has a few kind of like not so fun things in there. Like, you know, I know for you, this is a big deal. It's going to have new sales taxes for tattoos and piercings.
Right.
Because I know you've got all those back piercings.
Finally, and given the piercing community, what they've been skating by.
I know, right? That's and
I love that's like in the same areas like syntax, like cigarettes, large sodas, piercings. Come on.
And then there's a new tax for satellite TV and Netflix.
Now,
and,
Toy Hutchinson was on Patty Vasquez last night, state senator from South Suburbs, talking about the idea that there were a lot of other things that were in the budget before. There has been a negotiation going on here.
Right.
There was we talked about it last week, right. The home repair tax, and that's been removed.
And, like, there's actually cuts, too.
Yeah.
There's
10% across the...
Well, for universities, 5% right. Across the board for everybody else, 10% for universities. And, you know, I mean, this is not a give-it-all-away kind of budget. In fact, you know, it really does take away a lot from the state. And, you know, the Better Government Association really had an excellent article this last week about how Illinois is already cut to the bone. We have one of the smallest per capita governments in terms of number of people, in terms of amount of spending. The state government is smaller than it's been since the 1950s.
So is that a win for Governor Rauner? I mean, that is a win in the sense
that
he
wanted
to
do that.
Well, it was
already on that track. It was already on that track for some time. And so the question is, you know, when you kind of rattle your sword and say, or, you know, whatever it is,
saber,
and there's not enough cuts, you know, there's all this waste in government. The truth is, Illinois government is pretty slim and trim. So at this point, you know, really, when you're making cuts, you're not cutting to the bone, you're cutting the bone. And the biggest things that cost money in state government at this point are entitlements like Medicare, Medicaid,
pensions.
And prisons
and
pensions,
right.
And pensions and prisons.
Okay, I'm fascinated about the politics because now here we go. These bills, which are still missing some things, some big things as you mentioned, will move on to the House.
Right.
Now we've heard all sorts of. I mean, the boogeyman in the state of Illinois is Speaker Madigan,
right.
And everyone is on watch of how he's going to change it and how he's going to be an obstacle. An obstructionist to be able to get this done. But it seems to be in the House's best interest to pass this along to Governor Rauner because they get their tax increase. And like you said, the tax or the cuts are manageable.
Here's the pressure. The one thing that's going on in terms of to make it pass is that the business community has really united and said, get this done, move something. We've got to make this happen. The Chicago Commercial Club, the Chicago Chamber, the Illinois Chamber, they have all said, look, whatever it is that you do, just get something passed, please.
Because, and I read this in an article, that it's not a lack of a budget that is scaring away businesses. It's uncertainty.
It's absolute uncertainty.
So if you have a budget, even if it's a bad budget, it's better for Illinois businesses that they know there's not political uncertainty.
Right. And So, you know, let's remember the deadline for the budget is May 30th, half May. Yeah, I don't know, whatever. And so then the other part is that Governor Rauner has said, well, I will sign this if there is going to be a property tax freeze for some period of time. Now, you know, Democrats have said, you know, really, we don't want to do a property tax freeze, because if there's a property tax freeze, that basically means that local government is going to have to start cutting like mad. That's the main way that we fund local government: schools, towns, city of Chicago. It's through property taxes. And if you can't raise property taxes in any way, then, you know, these places.
Now, there are, and we've talked about it in this segment and in the show. I mean, there are disproportionate property taxes. If you go to McHenry County, you go to the south suburbs, there are, it's off the, I mean, it's crazy to think about how much money
places that don't have a lot of commercial or manufacturing to rely
on. But he's playing to his base in some of those situations, and some of those south suburbs are Democrat, but the concept being that that's what he's talking about. But there's a lot of other places, and we've talked about it, that city of Chicago, maybe even downstate, that aren't necessarily maxed out or capped out when it comes to property taxes.
You know, I think it depends on where you are. You know, I hear stories about Peoria and Springfield, and I hear they're pretty rough in terms of property taxes there proportionally. But, you know, I think that's true. I think certainly south of I-80, property taxes are a much bigger issue than north of I-80. And that plays really, really well for Governor Rauner. The problem is that there are definitely places. If you look at most of the suburbs in Cook County south of I-55, they are going to get ruined in the next couple of years if they don't have a way in order to increase their revenues.
Because of their own pension issues and other things.
Their own pension issues, but also because the value of the properties have been declining, and the ability for those municipalities and school districts to be able to increase property taxes, they're already capped out. They can't go anywhere, and so the property values decrease. That means that they can tax less. They get less money to operate. There's a good number of school districts in the South Cook suburbs that are going to go bankrupt.
Mike Fouché, the editor of Daily Line, we can hear him on the him and his crew on the Aldercast on Fridays at WGN Plus. We'll take a break. Come back. We'll continue the conversation. I want to talk about CPS Chicago. Like you mentioned, education funding not in this package. What does that mean for not only the end of this year, which we know it's cha-ching, it's plastic, but let's talk about next year and years to come.
Sure.
Mike Fouché, stay with us.
Nice.
Mike Fouché.
What's up? Daily Line.
Okay, so let's keep this conversation going. We got about 8 minutes here. CPS, let's go quick into this. You know, like you said, I mean, there's no funding yet coming out of Springfield.
No.
CTU has a vote of no confidence for Forrest Claypool.
Yeah.
Karen Lewis at the City Club yesterday.
And she wailed on him.
She is so – it's
unloaded.
So fun to listen to her because she's a quote machine.
Yeah.
But she then says, I don't like Claypool. We don't like – he doesn't call me. I don't like him. We like the other one. We like Jackson.
Right.
And
the education officer.
Yeah. And I guess and Claypool and Rahm Emanuel's response was, you know, we got some serious issues with Springfield right now. All hands on deck.
Right.
Why are you trying to fight us when you should be fighting them?
It is a mystery to me. I interviewed the vice president of CTU a couple weeks ago, Jesse Sharkey, which you can listen to on the Aldercast. And one of the things that I asked him about again and again and again is, why can't you guys work together in Springfield? And why do you have so many problems with Claypool and you don't really have problems with the mayor? And, you know, he couldn't really answer why they have problems with Claypool, not the mayor. And I kept asking, you know, these two guys have been working together since the early 80s. I mean, Forrest Claypool and Rahm Emanuel go back.
Is Emanuel's hatchet man.
Well,
I mean, he Park District.
But they're also buddies.
Yeah, right.
They're buddies.
Right.
And
he calls on when he wants to clean up an organization or administration.
The idea that Rahm Emanuel and Forrest Claypool, there's daylight between the two of them, doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't really understand why CTU keeps pummeling Forrest Claypool, and then they were like, oh, but Rahm is okay. Or not okay, we can work with him. So the point that they keep making, though, is that you can't take Chicago seriously, the city of Chicago seriously, until the city raises revenues by about $500 million and puts that into schools. And, you know, if you look at the math, it's true. I mean, the school system has about a $1 billion deficit that it's going to be walking into next year. Forget getting through this year. As soon as the school year's over on June 30th, they're going to have a $1 billion deficit to work with.
Just to, right like that.
At the beginning. Jeez. So, you know, I think the argument that CTU is making is, look, these guys are keeping their head in the sand. They're not actually addressing the real problem.
We all see this. I mean, we've, again, I keep saying we've talked about it, but we have talked about it's not this year, next year, then year after.
Right.
I mean, the pension responsibilities are
right.
intense. They only get more intense.
Yeah.
So why isn't there been a sit down to say we need comprehensive change in the way we do school budget? Why does Emanuel and Claypool keep their head in the sand?
I think that, I mean,
is it just too overwhelming for them? You know, but I mean, that's the only thing you can pull away.
Out. All they do is play video games when they go home.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I think that probably the one thing that makes any sense to me is that they're trying to keep the train going, barreling forward. So with an idea that to put pressure on Springfield, that so that Springfield will write a check in order to bail them out. I don't, at this point, it doesn't seem like that's realistic. And there is another part, too, that the schools have to take in, which is that they have to pay for stuff on their own. The city has to pay some amount of money. And I think that from their thinking, the bargaining position goes away as soon as the schools start actually, as soon as, you know, Chicagoans start paying for themselves.
Yeah. All right. My last thought tonight, we kind of mentioned this in the carryout as well, was, you know, everyone's looking at the Trump administration budget that was out and the cuts.
Right.
A lot of which would affect the block grants that come to cities, including Chicago. And there'd be a lot of cuts to this area.
Right.
This is the skinny budget. And then this one, we've seen this and there wasn't necessarily
the feds. Yeah.
You don't necessarily everything that they propose is what's going to get through into budget. So right away, the hysteria needs to damp down a little bit.
It's pretty much DOA at this point.
Yeah. But the question I have is that the fundamental concept of the Trump administration saying we're going to cut funding across the board, we're going to cut services, we're going to do everything because we're going to give you a certain amount of money back to the states.
Right.
And you have the freedom to do whatever you want with it. I mean, this concept is one that has been done before, but at the same time is a change in how we kind of do government.
So The person who did this was really well was Ronald Reagan in his 81 and 82 budgets. There used to be very stringent limitations on all kinds of federal grant money, federal money that went to states and municipalities. And it was all based on headcount. You know, for you get 100 people, you get $100 per person. You know, it worked like that. And then what Reagan did is that he changed it to block grants. He changed a lot of things to block grants.
And we still use that today.
And we still use them. And the idea was is that we're going to get rid of this regulation, but we're going to give you less money, but you'll have more freedom to do with what you want.
Because of no regulation.
There was, you know, to
some extent.
I
understand that, yeah.
Yeah, that was helpful in some ways. There was less money, but it was helpful in some ways.
So what does this do to change
it? Now, fast forward, you know, we're 30 years later. Is that what it is? 35 years later. What really is the case is that states have figured out how to use these systems. They don't need to have less restrictions because they've gotten very savvy. They know how to work the system. They've got these huge healthcare programs, Medicaid programs that work within the federal budget systems. And that isn't as big an issue. So I'm not really sure what the freedom aspect is.
But the idea right now is, that's what the sale is. The sale is we'll give the when it comes to schools, education, and environment, all the things down the line, we'll give you choice, we'll give you freedom, we'll give you the chance to spend the money.
Yeah.
But the question is, states don't necessarily,
they've already made the choices. They pretty much know how to do their stuff. There's not a whole lot of lifting of burden that's going on here.
Interesting. We'll follow that, of course. Mike Fouché from the Daily Line, dailyline.net. You can also find him, Aldercast, which is the podcast here at WGN Plus. It comes out on Fridays, and he joins us every Wednesday here on The Download. Next Wednesday, we'll have an understanding of what happened with the Springfield session being wrapped up.
More stuff.
So lots to talk about. We'll see you next Wednesday. Thanks,
Mike. Looking forward to it.